discovered, chapter 25. Submitted by Brother Lionel Butcher of Boughton on the Water in the UK. The truth speaks for itself. The vicar, poor man, was not a person whom I liked. It seemed I was not alone in my view, for each morning as he walked the length of the village to collect his newspaper, he rarely found anyone to speak to. The housewives and gardeners usually found some reason to go indoors as he passed. If he did catch one unawares, out came his little black book, his attendance register. "You have not been to church for weeks," he would say. "Your soul will be damned to eternal hellfire." I went to church because my mother made me. So did Dad. When we discovered the reason why she went, we mutinied. Mother went to church, it seemed, because Lady C went. Clearly anybody who was or wanted to be somebody in the village had to attend the church on Sunday. But Dad and I did not have to keep up appearances with the Women's Institute Committee members or the art exhibitors. We had our own interests, which did not involve either the social life of the village or its church, which appeared to be either the same thing or else inextricably intertwined. It is easy to imagine, therefore, that I had little interest in religion when I went to college in Coventry. There, I met a young lady who went to church because she wanted to. This was a new phenomenon, so when I was invited to an evening meeting, I went, expecting to be introduced to a bunch of cranks. Imagine my surprise when they turned out to be very nice people who invited me back to their homes and were very kind to me. The sort of friends my parents had were those whom you gossiped about as soon as they'd gone home. Conversations were rarely about anything more serious than which garden was likely to win the competition or why the footbridge hadn't been repaired. In these Christadelphians, however, I sensed a deeper, more genuine kind of friendship. This was the ban the bomb march phase of my life. I had just decided that neither communism nor capitalism worked. So a talk about the prophecy of Daniel 2 fell on good soil. I was deciding that the world couldn't go on for much longer, and behold, here was someone telling me it wasn't meant to. Mind you, I still had to be convinced that the Bible was true. I read The Bible as History by Verna Keller, which introduced a new train of thought. I was busy taking photographs of flying saucers, trying to prove that they didn't exist. Keller convinced me of the impossibility of proving a negative. In other words, no one had proved any of the parts of the Bible wrong. So logically, the next step was to read the Bible, and this I did. No more proof was needed, because it speaks for itself. By the way, I married the young lady.